So today we are starting a series called The Road to the Cross. So what we're going to do leading up to Easter is we're going to look at encounters that Jesus had with people on his way to the cross. So all these will be as he's making his way to his ultimate death. So today we're going to start in John chapter 9 with verse 1. That's on page 871 in your pew Bible. If you're in your own Bible, John chapter 9. I ask that if you can and are able to stand in honor and in reverence of the reading of our gospel lesson this morning. John chapter 9. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors of those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone that looks like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. In December of 2010, something very important in my life happened. After school was out and Christmas break started, I had surgery. I had LASIK eye surgery. Woohoo! That surgery may seem like a small deal to those of you that have perfect vision, but for those of you like me who was blind, literally, couldn't see anything, it was amazing. It was life-changing. It was transformative. It was exciting. I showed up that day. The procedure went great. It's a quick procedure. It takes no time at all, literally. And on the way home, the doctor said, "Wear these sunglasses. Don't look at anything. Don't strain. Go home, take your other medicine, and go to sleep so your eyes can rest." It was the first time ever I could look while Stacy was driving. I could look out and read signs already. Now, they were blurry or hazy, kind of foggy, but I could read them. And I'm going, 4 miles, license plate Z2147. She's like, "Stop. He said don't do it." I said, "I can't help it. I can see." We got home. The next morning, I woke up and I looked over. And for the first time, I could see the alarm clock that I could reach from my bed. 7:15. I was so excited. I could see. And I had never had that experience before. Ever since then, I've been drawn to this event in Scripture. What the doctors did with lasers to my eyes, Jesus did with mud. And I've always found that fascinating. But the story doesn't end there. If you read the rest of chapter 9, everyone's up in arms because Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. And they're mad. They want to punish him because of that. The Pharisees questioned this man. Then they eventually questioned his parents. And then they call him back a second time and question him again. This man seems to get frustrated and he says, "Don't you listen?" Can you imagine somebody saying that to the Pharisees, the church leaders? Then he said the most offensive thing he could say. "Do you want to be his disciples too?" And instantly they threw the man out of the temple, the synagogue. He was no longer welcomed in the church because he told them the truth about Jesus. I'm going to leave that sermon alone because that's not where we're going. But that's a good one to preach. This Lent, our focus is growing as disciples, of transformation in our lives, so that we can look inward as we participate in these spiritual disciplines, so that we can grow in our faith. This man's story of transformation is amazing. He began the story as a beggar, and he ends the story a follower of Jesus who can see clearly. Over the past few weeks, I've realized that the real goal of what we're trying to do here at Emmanuel, the real goal, the real call to my ministry call was to see transformation in people's lives. Filling up churches, having great attendance, that's wonderful. But at the end of my life, the goal that really matters is, did I let God use me to help transform people's lives? Transformation's a hard thing because to transform, you've got to be willing to change. There was a great theologian named Darla Mills who once said, nobody likes change but Andrew. And she said it multiple times. I'm not sure it's true, but it is accurate for our context. So what leads to the transformation in the story? It's not the mud. It's not the washing. It's not even the saliva. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only true thing that leads this man to transformation, and the only true thing that will lead to ours. I was asked several questions after my surgery, and although I didn't use these words, verse 25 basically summed up my answer. I couldn't really tell people how it happened, why it happened, but in verse 25, the man says this: I don't know whether he's a sinner. They were trying to accuse Jesus of being a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner. All I know to be true is I was blind, but now I see. That's all I could tell people is I went to the doctor that morning and I was blind. But now I can see. I was blind, but now I see. Is that your story? Is that our story? Were you ever blind? Jesus touched you like we sang about, and now you can see. That's transformation. See, sometimes we get brought up in the church whether we want to or not. I didn't have a choice to whether or not I wanted to be a Christian, technically. My mom and dad drugged me to church. Plopped me down in Sunday school. Plopped me down in Vacation Bible School. Plopped me down in United Methodist Kids, UMK, isn't that what we called it? Plopped me down in preaching. I didn't have a choice whether or not to go to church. But at some point, I had to make a choice to go from blind to able to see. I had to make a choice from going from a church attender to a disciple of Jesus. Jesus eventually meets back up with this man in verses 35 to 41 in the New Living Translation says this: when Jesus heard what happened, he was being investigated, he heard about it, he went and found the man, and he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. Jesus says, you have seen him, and he is speaking to you now. The man said, yes, Lord, I believe. And then he worshiped him. Do you see the transformation there? He was asking who it was, but then he comes to a clear realization in his life that Jesus is Lord, and he worshiped him. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment. I'm going to repeat that because we've lost that in the church. I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they can see that they are indeed truly blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we're blind? Jesus said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim to see. So the blind can actually see, and those that think they can see are actually blind. Reminds me of a story I heard a long time ago, and I'm going to tell it in honor of your Emmanuel trio that finished second in the golf tournament. So, yeah, stand up. Go ahead. Eric, give a little wave to the crowd. There were only five teams. But we finished tied for second. What's that? We weren't fifth. No, man, we were not. Charlie Boswell was blinded in World War II while rescuing a buddy from a burning tank. He had always been a great athlete, so after the war, he took up golf. This guy says that Boswell won the National Blind Golf Championship 16 times and once shot an 81, which is impressive for an amateur who can see. In 1958, Charlie came to Fort Worth to receive the Ben Hogan Award. Ben Hogan agreed to play a round of golf with Charlie. Charlie said, "Would you like to play for money?" Hogan said, "That wouldn't be fair." Charlie said, "Come on, Mr. Hogan, you aren't afraid to play a blind golfer, are you?" Hogan was really pretty competitive, so he said, "Okay, I'll play for money. How much?" And Boswell said, $1,000 per hole. Hogan said, "That's a lot of money. How many strokes do you want me to give you to start?" Boswell said, "No strokes. I'll play you heads up." Hogan said, "I can't do that. What would people think of me taking advantage of a blind man?" Boswell said, "Don't worry. Our tea time's at midnight." The one that thought he could see was going to be blind when they teed off. The one that was blind was actually going to be able to see. Is that our story? Have we been so wrapped up in theology and religion and church work that we think we can see, but we're really blind to the transforming power of Jesus? I hope not. But if it is, this Lent is the time to stop and to be transformed. Have we lost the awe of Jesus giving us sight? It can happen. 7 years ago, I had surgery. I'm no longer amazed by the surgery because I can see. I've lost that excitement of the first week. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I've always imagined that this blind man who can now see would love singing Amazing Grace. Don't y'all think he would? Peggy played a beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace, "My Chains Are Gone" by Chris Tomlin. See if these words are this man's story. See if it's your story. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. When you grow up in the church, you don't think you're that bad because you compare yourself to people that didn't grow up in the church. But Scripture tells us that none of us are good. That all the good things we can do are but filthy rags to the Lord. The reality is that even as your preacher, Jesus had to save a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Have you lost how amazing that grace appeared the hour you first believed? I'll give you a short version. This isn't in there. I skipped a line because I couldn't see. I once was lost. Did I say I once was lost, but now I'm found? I don't know if I did or not. I was at a Carolina football game, and I got lost. How old was I? Five? Four? Four. And I'm lost in front of all these wonderful, godly people. I mean, they're Gamecock fans. They have to be. And I panicked, and I did what any four-year-old would do. I started crying like a baby. Some man found me and said, "Sir, what's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "I can't find my daddy." So they took me to first aid, and I sat there until a relative I'd never met came and said she knew me, scared me half to death. I thought she was crazy. She was actually related, but I didn't know that. About an hour went by, and finally I saw my dad. I can't put into words the joy I experienced once I was found, because I knew I was going to get to go back home with my dad. Have we lost the joy of what it means to be found? My chains are gone. I've been set free. Is that our story? My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. You may have never been told this, and if not, I apologize for not telling you before now as your pastor. But each and every one of you in here, regardless of your past, your God, your Savior, is madly in love with you. Unending love. You say, "Well, you don't know what I'm doing even now." He doesn't care. He wants you to stop, but He loves you right there. Transformation isn't about going from A to Z. It's about going from A to B, B to C. And eventually we'll get to Jesus. My prayer this week is that as we go through these spiritual disciplines together, and I'm going to keep reminding you, but my prayer is through the amazing grace of God, your life will be transformed. Where you are blind, you will see. Where you are lost, you will be found. Where there are chains, you will be set free. In the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son and Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.